You're listening to Catholic Chicago on WNDZ 750 AM. During the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago brings you programs about the people, events, and issues that touch our lives. Welcome to Catholic Chicago.
Good morning. This is Deacon John with the Black Catholic Initiative. And yes, the weather is finally warmer out there, and it's got a little calm, I guess, after yesterday's flood. I don't know how many of you had to build an ark yesterday, but I was certainly bailing out a lot of water. Good morning again. It's happy times here. As long as you're up and out of bed, you are blessed. And if you hear my voice, you too are blessed. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and let us be glad in it. Today's guest is Mr. Abraham Morris, and he's from DePaul, USA. And he's going to talk to us in a little bit about the DAX program. Good morning, Abraham.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You know what? It just struck me that your name is Abraham.
I know.
Good Lord. It makes all the sense in the world that you are here to talk about the DAX program.
It's prophecy. It all comes together, right?
Yes, sir. Well, God has called you, and he knew you before you were born in your mother's womb.
Amen.
So tell me, Abraham, now, you are with DePaul, USA.
Yep.
You are director of what program?
The DAX program.
The DAX program, right? And tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so DePaul, USA is a nonprofit organization that has created a national response to homelessness. So it provides 17 different programs in 6 different cities, all responding to homelessness in a variety of different ways to meet the community needs. But right here in Chicago, we have created the DAX program, which serves homeless and housing insecure college students.
Okay, and you said 17 different programs?
17 different programs.
Can you remember all of them?
I cannot remember all of them. I cannot, but we are doing good work, I can tell you that.
Yes, you are. And so your part now is actually getting shelter for them, for the most part, right?
Correct.
You're making sure they have some kind of shelter.
Yeah, absolutely. So we believe in the housing first model. So if we can provide 4 major things, food, water, shelter, and safety, we have then created a platform, we have created a foundation where then students can then build up from there and build their house so they can work on their education, they can work on their mental health, they can work on their physical health, reach graduation, and become successful in whatever community they decide to settle down in.
And that's a tremendous service.
Amen.
So how long has it been in place and how did it begin?
So the conversation started back in 2013 when a bunch of Vincentians met together, and they were talking about what kind of services are needed here in Chicago. And one of the participants talked about college homelessness that estimated that there was 50 students in a given quarter that were facing homelessness.
Okay.
And so then my executive director, President Charles Chuck Levesque, said, we need to do something about this. And then he created the DAX program, and the DAX program started in the academic year of 2014 and 2015.
Okay. And you mentioned also when we were talking earlier before we got on the air that St. Vincent de Paul himself experienced homelessness to some degree?
Yeah, he was a very poor man. And so when he was going to college, he lived in a town called Docks, and so we named our program DAX, but it's Docks, French.
Okay.
And so he lived with the host family, and he stayed there during his education in college to graduate.
And I think that's what's wonderful, that something like that, you know, came about and brought this Docks program to Chicago.
Absolutely. Isn't it incredible to look back on history and see how it relates to today?
Well, I think that's what helps us grow, and it helps us, you know, it gives us the knowledge to be able to do things like this. I mean, let's do something good out of something bad that potentially happened to someone or that someone can avoid in the future. Let's do something good for.
Yeah, and it's creating that, like, it's breaking the cycle of poverty, and it's creating systemic change, right? If I can create opportunities for an education, it's there are statistics that show that education, your education level and the amount of income correlate with each other. So if I can give a student an upper hand where then they can be successful, create themselves jobs, create themselves opportunities, and then they can make money, they can then break that cycle in the future, live in better, decent neighborhoods where they can then change the lives of their children and change the trajectory. So it's that systemic change that is happening among the students we work with.
Systemic is key.
Systemic is key.
Yeah, because if you can stop that, then you can build and not worry about homelessness anymore.
Exactly. I mean, like, right, like if I can get myself educated, if I'm educated, the likelihood that my kids being educated drastically increases.
Yes.
And then my kids' kids.
Right.
And then my kids' 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 kids.
Right.
And then it's just generation after generation after generation. So when I talk about systematic change, I'm talking about years and years and years to come. I believe that this program is changing the outlook on Chicago as a whole.
And I think that's great. It's great that you have the vision to be able to see and to be able to determine that this is what we need to do, want to do to make things better.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you can't have that vision of moving forward, right, if you can't see the education, if you can't see that we want to make changes to come, what's the point of doing the work, right? Well, then we're just working for the now and not working for the future.
Amen. So tell me now, you're really here to talk, too, about this fundraiser that you got coming up next week, isn't it?
Yeah, huge fundraiser coming up. It's the second annual Docs Gala, Unlocking the Future. It's on Tuesday, June 4th at the Coeur d'Alene Commons, 2324 North Fremont Street from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And so you can buy tickets at give.depaulusa.org/DaxGala, DaxGala.
And do me one favor, Abraham, if you'd mention that once again.
Yeah, no problem. So the second annual Dax Gala, Unlocking the Future, there's going to be college students there that we're working with. It's a great opportunity to learn more about what we're doing, give back to a wonderful organization who is creating systemic change. It's going to be on Tuesday, June 4th, at the Coeur d'Alene Commons, 2324 North Fremont Street. 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And you can buy your tickets at give.depaulusa.org/DaxGala, DaxGala.
Excellent. And is there a phone number also that people can reach you?
Yes. So you can reach me at 312-362-7931.
All right. Excellent. So tell me, do you have any good stories of a student that you noticed was homeless initially, or he was homeless before he entered the program, and now he's this great whatever?
Yeah. So last year, there was a student that came to me. He stepped into my office, and you could just tell he was just down. He's been beaten up, bruised. You could tell his mental health has not been treated. He was just down and out on his luck. Mm-hmm. And so he sat down, asked him what the situation was. He said he was living in a shelter on the far west side of the city. And he was sneaking on the metro on days he needed to get to class because he didn't have money. So he had to sneak on the metro, and then he would go back out to the suburbs to sleep at night. And so I said, first off, have you eaten today? He said, you know, no, Abe, I haven't eaten. I said, well, let's grab some lunch. So I took him out to lunch, and we came back, and he was in the middle of his meal, and he stopped eating. I said, you all right? He's like, yeah, I'm fine, Abe. He said, I'm sorry. I just because I don't eat that much, my stomach has shrank, and so I can't finish my meal. I said, that's okay. You know, just take it with you. I said, I'm sorry, but I don't have any spot for you tonight. But what I will say, I'm going to work as hard as I can to find you something. And you could kind of see, like, this light bulb tick. Like, he felt like there was hope there.
Right.
And so I gave him the little money I had out of my pocket. I think I gave him $100. And I said, I hope this lasts you.
Little money.
Yeah, a little money out of my pocket to help him out. So I gave him $100, and I said, I'm going to work as hard as I can to get you something. We talked with DePaul University, and they were able to work with us, and we got him into emergency housing on campus. And so he went from being on academic probation to being on the dean's list the next quarter. He's absolutely doing fantastic. He plans to do, he does community organizing right now, and he plans to be a lobbyist and work within government once he graduates, and then he plans to graduate in next year.
That is an awesome story.
It's absolutely fantastic. He talks about his story a little bit. And he talks about there was a time in his life where he sat on the L and he thought about jumping onto the tracks because he didn't have any hope. And so if we can instill hope in these young people's lives, we change their trajectory.
Oh, God, that's so emotional.
Yeah.
And we hear stories all the time, Abe, of kids or people in general wanting to do just that and haven't done it, jump on the track,
right,
to end their lives,
right, to end it all. And the fact of the matter is, if we can just give them that little light of hope, you know, that little light. Sometimes when I'm in my darkest times, I think I say, God, can you just give me a sign? And every time I see this little light, and it could be this light from the sunshine in a room, it could be a reflection off something. There's always that light there, and I feel like I want to be that light in these young people's lives.
Amen. Look, we're gonna break and take a short pause and come back with you in just a second, okay?
We invite you to watch Catholic Chicago this weekend, featuring a conversation with Cardinal Blaise Cupich and video highlights from across the Archdiocese. Here's host Todd Williamson.
We'll talk with Cardinal Blaise Cupich about worldwide protocols put in place by the Holy See following the historic meeting in Rome on the protection of children. And we'll give you a behind-the-scenes look at the televised Sunday Mass from Mercy Home for Boys and Girls.
Watch Catholic Chicago Friday at 7 p.m. on Chicago Loop Cable, Channel 25, and Sunday afternoon at 3 on the Comcast Network, Channel 100.
Hi, my name is Craig. I was homeless for 2 years, then I met Miss Ramona, a case manager at Catholic Charities. She found a place for me to live and is helping me with a resume and finding a job. I feel safe and away from the gun violence I know too well, having been a victim of it. The more I meet with Catholic Charities, the better I feel. They have changed my life. They're called Chicago's Good Samaritans, but to me, they are turnaround experts. Care to help? Visit CatholicCharities.net.
You're listening to us on Catholic Chicago, WNDZ 750 AM. I'm Deacon John, your host, and we're talking to Abraham Morris of DePaul, USA, and we're talking about the DOCS program, which is a program for homelessness, particularly for those in college.
Yes.
So now, you said that there are programs like this all over the United States, is that correct?
Or? So we're hoping to. So
okay.
CBS Sunday Morning did a special, and they looked all across the country to look what kind of services are provided to homeless or housing insecure college students. And they found a couple, but a lot of them run it like shelters. So you have to be in at 7 o'clock at night, and you have to be out by 7 o'clock in the morning. We don't run a program like that. We believe that this is your home. You have a key. You can come and go as you please, and it's something that you can call yours. With that model, I think we've seen great success. Since the start of our DAX houses, we have been at 100% success rate. So either they remain in the program or if they've graduated from the program.
That is awesome. So tell me something. The program itself, how is it funded?
How is it funded? That's a great question. So we are 100% privately funded. We don't receive any city money, any federal dollars for this program. So we really rely on the community, and we believe that our statistics and our success proves that the money is being used correctly, and it's going back for a great cause to better off the community. I believe you can either pay for these students now at a very small amount, and then change their trajectory on life, or you can pay through it with your taxes when they're homeless, needing services, and you're already paying the government to pay for their services later on.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of these students too, Abraham, because they get desperate maybe sometimes, they may be tempted to go out and steal.
Absolutely.
Or something, and then get themselves in trouble. So, you know, you're going to pay more for it at that time too, housing them in a different situation.
So I had a young man who got in trouble with the law because he was looking to buy and sell drugs as his way to pay for his education. He did get into trouble. However, he was able to knock that down to a misdemeanor, able to pay some fees and have that expunged from his record. However, my belief is that if this young man does not have the opportunity to graduate and he has to fall back on the debt that he has received from school without a degree, he's going to go back to what he knows and he's going to go back to selling drugs and he's going to end up in the prison system.
So what other things are we providing for them? I'm sure you, in this case, you're providing some job leads or at least an opportunity to make an income.
Yeah. So not only do we provide housing, but we provide case management, counseling referrals, transportation, food stipends, textbook assistance, and educational reimbursements. So we believe in wraparound services. Like I said before, we are a firm believer in the housing first model. So mm-hmm. if we provide them housing, get them in housing, we then wrap the services around them as needed to make sure that they successfully graduate from college.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, because now they can strictly think about their education.
Amen.
And they don't have to worry about food in their stomach or shelter because those are basic needs that everyone needs.
Absolutely. I mean, how can I graduate from college or how can I do my homework or how can I study if I'm hungry? How can I do it if I'm thirsty? How can I do it if I don't know where I'm going to sleep at night? It is absolutely impossible. College is already stressful enough. Now, add to the fact that you're homeless, add to the fact that you can't eat, add to the fact that you have nothing to drink. Add to that all plus the stress of college, it's impossible to complete.
So how can one sponsor a particular student if there's such a thing?
Yeah, so there's sponsors for the DAX event. So, the DAX event, the second annual DAX Gala, Unlocking the Future, is on Tuesday, June 4th, at the Cordelou Commons, 2324 North Fremont Street from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. And if you go to the website, give.depaulusa.org/DAX Gala, there's opportunities for individuals or businesses to sponsor. So you'll see sponsor levels on there, and you can give to whatever you feel comfortable with.
Okay. And are you going to have, I'm sure you're going to have a student that you just spoke about, someone like him, to speak to the audience?
Yes.
and tell them of their situation?
So I'm super excited that there is a student who is going to be speaking at the event who has done absolutely fantastic in her program. Her story is a little bit different. She had a fall through with her family,
mm-hmm.
Didn't know where she was going to go. Well, she was enrolled at DePaul University, and she was contemplating sleeping on CTA because she had nowhere else to go and she didn't feel safe at home. Luckily, she got in contact with our DAX coordinator, Sister Judy Warmbold, and then met with myself and got her into housing. I'm happy to pronounce that she will be graduating this year, second week in June.
All right.
And she has locked down a job, and she's going to be graduating with a degree in cybersecurity.
Wow.
Yes. So she locked down her job 2 months before graduating. So absolutely fantastic to see that.
Well, she's got to be riding on the cloud, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about where she was 3 years ago or 2 years ago, and now where she is now. She's changed her trajectory in life.
And Abe, you know, sitting here talking to you, and we've had some conversation again prior to the show and during our break here, I can see that this clearly excites you.
Oh, man, it's my passion. I mean, you just see so much of yourself in some of these students that you're working with that if I didn't have that guidance, if I didn't have faith, if I didn't have that opportunity, I might be in the same situation they're at or worse. And so I live in the DAX house. I see these students on a day-to-day basis. And when you see them come to you broken, run down, with no place to go, with little hope, and then to see them 2 years later, or not even 2 years later, you can see them 2 months later and see the transformation in their eyes and
yes.
the way they carry themselves, it is absolutely incredible. And it's amazing to see. And I would invite anyone who is interested to come check out the DAX House. We have breakfast at the DAX House every Friday from 10 p.m. to noon. It's a great opportunity to sit down at the kitchen table. I believe that we are a family, so I want you to sit down at our kitchen table, talk with some of my family members, the students we work with, hear their stories, and learn more about the program and the work we're doing.
And it's excellent, Abraham, that you're here to share your program with us, and I'm certainly excited just talking to you.
Yeah.
We're going to break once again and join you in a second, okay?
You have the Hi, everybody. I'm Adam Fusilet from Dumb Ox Ministries, and we're excited to introduce our third Echo Theology of the Body Camp, held right here in Chicago. At Echo, we explore the teachings of St. John Paul II, and we dive into questions like, who am I? What's the meaning of my life? What's all of this stuff about relationships and discernment? How do I pray? And many other questions just like it. Teens and young adults join us June 14th through the 20th at St. Xavier's University for an amazing Echo experience. More information can be found at respectlifechicago.org, or you can give us a call at 312-534-5355. That's 312-534-5355.
Hi, my name is Ramona. I'm a caseworker at Catholic Charities. I wish you could meet Craig, age 23, shot three times and homeless for 2 years before I met him. The more we met and I listened to him, the more he impressed me. We're working on his resume and job hunting. We're called Chicago's Good Samaritan, and you can be one too. Might you have a job for Craig and thousands of others like him? Join us at CatholicCharities.net.
Have you checked out Chicago Catholic lately? Either in print or online, Chicago Catholic has informative and stimulating content, including news from the Archdiocese, beautiful photographs, and a thoughtful column by our publisher, Cardinal Blaise Supich. Editor Joyce DeRiga tells us about our current edition of Chicago Catholic.
Cardinal Supich ordains 8 men into the priesthood at Holy Name Cathedral. We have photo highlights and profiles of our new priests. We explain Pope Francis's norms on mandatory abuse reporting and bishop accountability. And we tell you about the Mercy Home for Boys and Girls mentor program for at-risk children who are not staying at Mercy Home.
Subscribe now. Go to ChicagoCatholic.com or call 312-534-7777. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Chicago Catholic, a fresh approach to Catholic news.
All right, this is Deacon John, your host for the Black Catholic Initiative. Been having a wonderful conversation with Mr. Abraham Morris of DePaul, USA. And Abraham, we have covered a lot of information, and you have inspired myself, and I'm certainly believing that you've touched some listeners as well.
I hope so.
Tell us how big this problem of homelessness is.
Yeah, so the free application for federal student aid estimates that there's 58,000 homeless college students nationwide. A more recent study last year from the Wisconsin.
58,000?
58,000.
That would fill up Soldier Field.
Yes.
Good gracious.
Yeah, it's a big number. It's a big number. And we're turning away doctors, lawyers. We're turning away some of the best because they can't afford it. And I just don't think that's right.
Yeah, I don't think it's right either. You know, when I was coming up, of course, I didn't have to worry about, you know, housing. I stayed with my parents.
Well, education and higher education system has become a business. And so everyone's trying to up one another. And that means price as well. Mm. So you don't need 26 TVs in your lunchroom.
Isn't that the
truth?
Know? Right.
You don't need the newest of the newest computers every single year. I get that you're trying to compete. However, you're kicking out a market of students who are trying to better off their lives and not giving them opportunity to get the education and be successful.
So this is also your aim then as a program to just give them the basics and not worry about all the other amenities.
Exactly. We want to give them the basis. We want to get them to graduation. We want to create equitable opportunities.
Okay. You know, and I can't imagine a better program than what you guys are doing. I mean, it's just awesome to I see it as a unique way to evangelize.
Yes, absolutely.
Because as you were saying earlier, too, many of these students don't have any hope at all. And you are bringing hope to them for some the very first time.
Absolutely. And if you want to be a part of it, there's great opportunities to get involved.
You've got volunteer opportunities?
We got volunteer opportunities.
Oh, great.
So you can become a mentor, a case manager. So if you're interested or you have experience being a case manager, a mentor, please reach out. You can reach out to 312-362-7931. That is my number. Or you can email me abe.morris@depauluSA.org.
Hey, what does a mentor look like?
So you just meet with the students on a monthly basis just to check up, see how they're doing, make sure that they're meeting their goals, making sure that they have everything they need. Like I was talking about before, those wraparound services. So not only do we want to house them, but we also want to wrap services around them to meet their personal needs so then they can become successful.
And I know that a mentor, too, has to have a background check, right?
Yep. So mentors go through a background check. All of our students go through background checks. And obviously, they're enrolled in school, so they've gone through a background check at the school as well.
And how do you find yourselves matching them? How does that work?
So we really want to make sure that it's an appropriate match. So we take interest into mind. We sit down and we talk with the mentor. We sit down and talk with the students, making sure that it would be an appropriate fit. And then so we pair them together. And it's just a great opportunity for the mentor and the mentee to kind of get together, relate to one another, and kind of learn from each other.
Okay. And you mentioned also their possibilities of being a host family.
Yeah. So we have three forms of housing for students. So we have DAX houses, we have host families, and then we have a DAX dorm on campus. So host families are community members who have opened up their home for a student to live there for 10 weeks, one quarter to one academic year. And so, again, we go through a background check, and then we sit down, we meet at the house at the kitchen table, talk about what's going on. We pair them with the perfect student, and then we make sure it's an appropriate fit, and the student could live there for one quarter or one year.
So these are short-term commitments, if you will, and then if a host family wants to sign up again for the another 10 weeks or whatever,
yep,
they can do.
They're more than welcome to. So if you're kind of hesitant at first and you kind of want to, you know, see what it's like, experience it, you can go the 10 weeks. And if you're saying, hey, I want to do this again, sign up for another 10 weeks so you can sign up for the whole year. If you're like, you know, that was a great experience, however, you know, I kind of like my space, then we would look at a different option.
You know, I can see where, you know, there's some adoption potential.
Yeah,
where a family gets so excited about having this, you know, this student around or kid around.
Yeah.
I can see how that fulfills something for the family as well.
So I work with a student who's been in three host families now, and he's moved out of those host families not because there was a problem, just that the family was off doing things or had other people coming into the home. But he has a key for each one of their homes individually, so he can come back whenever he wants.
Wow.
He actually house sits for them when they're out of town.
Wow.
So the relationship he built created opportunities for him. He got a job from it. He's met some fantastic people. He goes to them for Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving. I mean, he lives a better life than I do.
Right. That is so cool.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. How many host families are there in the, let's say, Chicago area?
So right now we have like five rotating. So it changes. It varies. And it depends. So sometimes we have host families come back. Other times we don't. And we want to make sure it's appropriate fit. So we've come with individuals who said they wanted to be a host family. However, it just didn't meet the needs of the students, how we felt fit. And so then we just moved on for a different option. But if you're interested, please reach out. We'll definitely step out. We'll send you an application and we'll see if it's an appropriate fit and we'll make sure it's sustainable.
And let me ask you this too. Are there opportunities for students to get like special transportation needs met?
Yeah. So if you're interested, we do U-passes are on during the year, so students can go as they please. It's part of their tuition. However, during off time, so during winter break and during the summer months, their U-pass is turned off, so they need venture cards. So if you want to provide, you know, CTA for the students as well, if you want to sponsor a student for the summer months or winter months, you're more than willing to do it. Or we do Aldi runs. So students get a $100 Aldi card every month, which allows them to buy groceries. It's just cheaper than the meal plan on campus. So if you're interested in providing transportation for those students, please feel free to reach out, and we'll make sure that you can give an Aldi run for some of the students we work with.
Abe, I think that's so cool. You know, as we continue to talk, ideas keep popping in my head as well. And so maybe you sponsor with someone like Uber.
Yeah,
you
that know? Would be a great idea.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, you know? And who knows, that also could lead to a job for a kid as well.
Absolutely.
And Uber, I think, would be excited about being involved with something like that.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. It's an avenue that we haven't looked at yet,
yeah,
but I think that's definitely one to look at.
Yeah.
And I've never even thought of that idea, but that's perfect.
I bet you they would jump on that.
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah,
creating systemic change.
Exactly, come on.
Yeah.
You already have the vehicles. Well, not necessarily the vehicles, but the means, the program.
Absolutely.
Abe, we have run out of time. It's been so exciting talking to you. I'm going to ask that God continues to bless your program, bless DePaul USA, the DOCS program, all the students that you serve, and your vision. May he bless it richly and bless it continuously. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Who am I? What does it mean to love? Why was I created?